And now it is time for you to blow out your candles and please sit down. And I pray, glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than I could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I have a question for us tonight. What comes to your mind when you think of the birth of Jesus? I asked that question at a deanery clergy meeting and at our last vestry meeting. There was a common answer to the question, what comes to mind when you think of the birth of Jesus? And that common answer was silence. There is a silence in the mystery of the incarnation. This mystery is beyond human understanding. It is audacious. It is a staggering miracle that God chose to enter our physical human condition. How did God trust Jesus to grow up as the power of love? God didn't make Jesus rush. God didn't push or run ahead of Jesus. Jesus grew slowly in wisdom and grace. No wonder silence happens in this mystery of love. But back to those two meetings in which I asked the question, what comes to mind when you think of the birth of Jesus? Well, I didn't want silence to hang in the air too long, so I moved on to my second question. Who in your life first taught you the importance or the specialness of Christmas? When and where? I thought these were accessible questions. Yet no one jumped in, so I spoke up. When I was growing up, my parents owned a candy store in Manhattan Beach. The Christmas shopping season was an insane and intense time of work for them. They worked 6.5 days a week, and the half day of the seventh was the family going to church on Sunday morning. My parents worked long days. Getting a Christmas tree sometimes waited. But what they always did first, in the beginning of Advent, was to set out our nativity set in the front of the corner window where the Christmas tree would eventually reside. Our wooden nativity set was front and center, with a primitive stall, an A-frame structure, big enough for Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The cow and donkey had to sit outside. And over by the television, the three wise men were making their way toward the nativity set. So as a little child, seeing our nativity set out first meant to me, Jesus was the reason for the season. Now, it was a surprise to discover that a few of the clergy at the deanery meeting and some vestry members did not have a nativity set when they were growing up. Hearing that some vestry members did not have a nativity set in their home now led me to think about you and assume the odds are some of you do not have a nativity set. So I decided to give each of you a surprise tiny gift of a plastic nativity set. And you will receive this as you leave today, a plastic nativity set for your tree. Mary and Joseph are all together in this plastic ornament. They are the central characters of the Christmas story, the focus of our gospel tonight. And this Christmas revelation was so enormous, there was a light show and voices in the heavens that woke up sleeping shepherds. God made an announcement. The history of the world is about to change. Jesus is born. And as we heard in the Isaiah reading, he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. No wonder silence is our first response to what the birth of Jesus means for us. I used a quote with the vestry, words written about Christmas by Henry Nouwen, one of the most important spiritual writers of the 20th century. And he wrote, "I think that I have hardly thought through the immense implications of the mystery of the incarnation." Well, if Henry has hardly thought it through, then I feel better. But Henry goes on to ask another question. Where is God? And he answers, God is where we are weak, vulnerable, small, and dependent. God is where the poor are, the hungry, the handicapped, the mentally ill, the elderly, the powerless. And Henry ends his reflection with, often we do not know that the Christ child is within us. When we discover him, we can truly rejoice. On this night, we are here to discover again, or for the first time, that the Christ child is within us. That Jesus was born, lived, died, rose again, and Jesus lives through the presence of the Spirit within us. So may this plastic nativity scene cause you to pause and think about the mystery of the birth of Jesus. And therefore, how are you going to live more fully what Jesus means to you? Now, that question led me to an unusual memory moment. Years and years ago, there was a country western song featuring plastic entitled Plastic Jesus. It might help you go beyond your plastic nativity ornament and maybe believe a little more in Jesus. Here are the profound words. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I've got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. Through my trials and tribulations and my travels through the nation, with my plastic Jesus, I'll go far. Riding down the thoroughfare with a nose up in the air, A wreck may be ahead, but Jesus don't mind. Trouble coming, he don't see. He just keeps his eyes on me. Any other thing that lies behind, with my plastic Jesus, goodbye, and I'll go far. I said, with my plastic Jesus, sitting on the dashboard of my car, and I'll go far, I said, with my plastic Jesus. Jesus not only keeps his eyes on us, he is with us, traveling through every hill and valley, leading us, not rushing ahead, supplying the grace, the fuel, the grace we need to go far, all the way into heaven's eternal love. You might not have a plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of your car, but may there be something that reminds you every day that you have been gifted with Christ Jesus within you. Your words and actions say a lot about your understanding of what difference the birth of Jesus has made for you. So my last question, what do you think you are teaching or passing on to others about Christmas? As a little girl, my parents put out a nativity set, and I learned that Jesus is the reason for the season. As an adult, I have come to live in the mystery of the birth of Jesus, with faith, with hope, and with love, one day at a time, with Jesus riding in my heart. Amen.